Hi, I'm Paul Camillos from Shooting the Breeze podcast. Join the STB crew for conversations and stories around women's hoops and women in hoops, inspiring players, amazing coaches, and the legends behind the scenes. It's our seventh season. Drop us a like and review, and make sure to subscribe for early access and other bonus content.
Yeah, our first couple games, we had major turnouts and, you know, young girls coming back. And I have a couple girls that come up to me every single game and after every game, and they're always saying, "We came back and we love it." And so it's just incredible to see those little things. I mean, that's what really, you know, warms your heart. And yeah, the community is really awesome.
Welcome to Shooting the Breeze. I'm Paul Camillos, and joining me for this podcast is our New Zealand expert, Lyndon Moore, who's originally from the San Francisco Bay Area and now enjoying life in New Zealand and is also a PhD candidate. At the moment, Lyndon's in Australia for a conference. So before we get into this episode, it's great to have you back, Lyndon. Why don't you give us a rundown of why you're in Australia and what's been happening since you were last on the show?
Yeah, well, first of all, always great to be back on the pod, and very excited. It's the first Tohe episode this season, so always grateful to be back, and especially with Paige on. So yeah, I'm in Geelong, Australia at the moment for the Sport Management Association of Australia and New Zealand Conference. I may have mentioned in previous pods, but I am doing my PhD, like you said, and every year there's a conference for sport managers, and we come through and we present things, and we just have knowledge exchange and catch up with people and network. And this year it's in sunny Geelong. So that's what I'm doing over here. I presented my final PhD study today, which is a bit surreal. And then, yeah, so since the last pod, I've just been honestly riding my butt off, just doing as much as I can and getting ready to submit my PhD in a few weeks and enjoying Tauihi and life and traveling around and enjoying the sun.
Cool. And for this episode, we're welcoming Paige Bradley, a Houston, Texas native who started playing basketball because her brother was playing the game. And after playing at the University of Denver, she started a professional career in Europe. And we'll get into that more in this episode. Paige is pretty well known amongst the local hoops community in Australia and New Zealand. She's played NBL 1, WNBL, most recently for the Sydney Flames. And right now, Paige, you're playing in the Tauihi League with the Southern Hoiho. So you've kind of really gone right around the world with the game, and we're really happy to have you here on the pod. Welcome to the show, Paige Bradley.
Thank you. Yes, happy to be here. Excited to get into more about it, and yeah, happy to join on your podcast. I've followed it for a while now, so it's cool to be here.
Fantastic. Okay, so let's take it back. You started playing because your brother started playing.
Yeah.
Well, your brother was playing. So
yeah.
How did that come about?
Yeah, I guess pretty young. My brother, I wanted to do everything he was doing. So if he was playing soccer, I wanted to play soccer. And he eventually got on a basketball team, probably in like the YMCA. And I also wanted to do that. So jumped on a team with my neighbor across the street who was on a YMCA team. And turns out I was way better than him. So I continued to play basketball, and yeah, he quit.
I'm curious about a couple of things. First of all, the YMCA League, I don't think we've really got anything like that here in Australia. So what is that?
Oh, I think it's just the local. I mean, I actually don't really know if they do much of it anymore, but back when I was a kid, they would just put recreational teams together and your local teams would play each other on the weekends. But it was just your typical local organization that put some teams and games together. And we would play at like middle schools or could be at the YMCA gym or something. Yeah, was nothing really that organized, but I was lucky to have some other very cool opportunities and sort of academies, you could say, in my area growing up. And I grew up with some great players and a good core group that I stayed with through AAU teams and everything, and then was able to get to college because of all of that. But yeah, I think that was a big reason why, beyond YMCA s things, it was those like little academies and AAU teams that really taught me a lot about the game and got me to where I am, or, you know, taught me a lot of what I know today.
No, that's fabulous, Paige, and it's really cool to see you in New Zealand, especially after all of that. And when I think of you, I think of fierce on the court, but then you just gone around the world and such a great ambassador for it off the court. And so all the way from the YMCA, and then now you literally gone pretty much all around the world. So this is your second year back here in New Zealand, which is fabulous. And I'm so excited to see that. You've been such a great ambassador on and off the court, and especially with the Hoiho, you're a fan favorite. You're a fan favorite around New Zealand. Everyone knows you. You've joined the league last year, and then you're here again this year. So there's been pivotal growth between the 2 years. Can you just give us a little bit of insight as to how it's been different, or how much what you've seen grow, or, you know, different than last year?
Yeah, so I think that this year to last year, both years were extremely competitive, and you've got to see a different variety of players come into the league this year, mainly due to the increase in import numbers. So each team going from 3 to 5, you see a different, I think, different styles that have entered into the league that creates a different atmosphere in general. But I still think it's very competitive. Like the previous year, I think it was also very competitive. You know, you see like any team could win on any night, and I think that was the same for both years. And you see really good, there were, I guess you could say, a bit of blowout games, but I still think it's interesting each night. You're not really sure who's going to win. I do think, you know, the league's making the import numbers from 3 to 5. I think it's an interesting aspect to the game. I like to see a lot of the Kiwi girls get the opportunity to get it on the court, that main game. And so you're not seeing that as much this year. Kiwis in general, you know, it's almost shocking to some people when you play against them because they have a very physical presence about them. And so the level of defense maybe last year was a bit more physical, and you had an aspect to it that really came from like a backing of the Kiwi girls. And I think there's a different level of that this year in the sense that you don't have as many Kiwis on the floor, but that's what I mean by a different style. So there is a different style that was brought to the league this year. You know, a lot of offensively minded teams and players, and which is great. It's good to still have, you know, that different style around. I think that's just the main difference from last year to this year. It's interesting to have sort of a rule that you need to have a Kiwi on at all times, but you have 5 imports, because that, it just adds an interesting element for your coaches and for your team to kind of have their back on, hey, we don't have a Kiwi out there or something. And, you know, you got to stay on your toes with that. So, I think there's just some elements that added to the different teams and styles. But I still think it was very competitive. I love that about this league. I love that, you know, you see upsets. There's supposed to be upsets, and you see the teams that are supposed to be the dominant aren't, you know, not necessarily. It's all about the hardest workers at the end of the day, too. So, overall, I'm still so happy playing here, and I enjoy it very much. But it is such a different element that they brought to this year. But I'm happy that they're investing in the girls and the league and with Sky, and I think it's incredible. I mean, that's one of the reasons I definitely came back.
Can I ask, you've played all around the world.
Yeah.
How do you find the Rapid League?
Yeah, such a unique concept. I think it adds some great element to the game that you do see sort of, you know, when you're playing on a team, you get 8-9 girls, usually max in a game on a typical game night, that each team probably only puts that many players on the court. It's kind of you get the optimal rotation, I would think. But to have a Rapid League where girls that usually don't touch the floor on a game night will get a chance to have some real game-like situations and time, I think it's an awesome concept. Frankly, it's tough on those people that play a lot in Rapid and then also need to play a lot in a main game. So if you're like the 6th, 7th man off of a bench, it could be pretty taxing on the body. So that's probably an interesting aspect to it. I mean, obviously, you just have to stay fit and probably get used to it and know what your body needs and But I think it's such a great concept for those girls that maybe are the 10th, 11th, 12th man that don't maybe get to see the floor on the main game. It's cool that they tried it out here and everybody bought into it. So, yeah. I mean, I like it. I've never played it, so I don't know. But I can imagine some of my teammates that have to play big minutes in both. I can definitely tell that, you know, there are days where I can see it's tough. But so, you know, kudos to them.
It seems to me that the two games, like you said, you're going to have some players who are going to really be feeling it towards the end of the main game. But I'm kind of curious, you know, if you think back to all your experience around the world, how do you think the concept of the Rapid League would translate to, say, Europe?
Well, I think that Europe is so established with sort of tiered teams and leagues and levels that I had some girls play on two teams. So they would play on our top team, and then they would also play on a regional local team. So they did probably get a lot of experience. You know, they especially get the practice experience, but then they also would play a solid 30 minutes in a game on the weekend if they weren't playing with us. And sometimes they would play two games in the weekend, but maybe they only got 5 minutes in our game. So I do think the concept makes sense for development, but I also think Europe is more established with their levels of leagues and opportunities. Maybe not everywhere, but yeah, I think that teams also tend to struggle with money and traveling anyway. So to travel 12 girls, like it would be an investment as well. But to be fair, I don't know if it's necessarily needed over there because of sort of the structure that is in place for a lot of countries.
Okay. And look, one last follow-up on Tauihi from my point of view is they've announced the expansion with the Indian teams.
Mm.
Okay. So first of all, from your perspective, how do you see it? And secondly, from talking to people on the Hoiho, how do they see it? And how are they feeling about, you know, what is a pretty significant change to the league?
Yeah. Most of us are pretty confused. We're just unsure. It's an unknown. And we're not exactly, at first it thought, are we going to India or, you know, or what the case was. And then we kind of learned they'll be based in Auckland. And I'm getting little tidbits here and there. So I have no idea what's true or not and what's solid about it. I think it's interesting and unique. Again, just adds another element of style and different ideas and growth in the game. I mean, any country I've played in, you get different ideas and different ways that people, different physicality, different ways people play defense or offense or shiftiness or, you know, it all adds, you know, an element to the game. And I think it's a cool idea. I absolutely do. It's interesting to hear what the makeup of the team and how that is involved in the league. And again, personally, I think to grow a country's basketball and skills and development of players, you just really need to keep the core of a team to be Kiwi. And so I'm interested to see, you know, adding teams like this, is it full, a full team of Indian players? That's such a cool idea. But I also think the more you add imports, the less you kind of get of the Kiwis. And yeah, I know I'm an import, but just speaking from experience in different countries and different leagues, you see, you know, as basketball grows in these countries, sometimes you see the growth in those youth players in that country. And it's a really cool thing.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting, isn't it? Because Paige, I know, Arsene Jump, because I know as much as you do, which is what the media releases say. And you have a good point. And I think it's really it's an interesting spot to be in, because I understand it is a great thing that Indian basketball now in New Zealand, they're going to help the Indian basketball team get better. And of course, then because of the population of India, that's going to bring more eyeballs to the league. So I understand to an extent what they're doing. And I think definitely there are some good things about it. But also I am, like, you're right, and I totally agree with the fact that if you're going to grow a league based in New Zealand and you want to make the game better, you have to invest in your Kiwi players. And then I also get it's a double-edged sword, because then you want them to play against players who are more experienced like yourself, and you yourself are bettering the league because of the talent and the challenge that you bring every single game. So it's definitely different, and I guess it, you know, we'll see how it goes. But yeah, it's an interesting development, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe that's enough about it.
Yeah, I think the other thing, of course, which, you know, when I read the announcement, I thought, okay, To me, India is not known as a big basketball country.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Hockey, yes. Cricket, yes. Mm-hmm. I got to be honest, I'm curious to see when the teams do hit the floor, what's it going to be like? What, you know, what's the quality of players? And I've started researching basketball in India, and it's not easy to find information. So I'm kind of wondering, you know, what's it going to change in the league, and how's it going to change, and what's the level of competition going to be like?
But the level I've seen has just been the FIBA Women's Asia Cup. And so that's been the like level to the extent that I've seen of Indian basketball, and it's tough because, like you said, Paul, there's not a lot on it. And so I think all of us, including the players, would like to know. I guess it's just kind of one of those things we have to be in it for a spontaneous surprise.
Yeah, I think that the unknown of adding a rapid league and, you know, the unknown of adding an Indian team, I guess we're all just going to, you guys go with it and roll with it and see how it goes.
I will say it's really good for the South Auckland community, though, and especially and good for Bruce Pullman Arena, which for those not in New Zealand, it's a very large sporting arena with multiple courts, and New Zealand Aegers have tournaments there, and sometimes the Frankfurt Bulls go up there and the NZNBL. So there are uses for that court, but it's really good for South Auckland because there's a big Indian population there that they're going to have their own team. And so, because besides the Tuatara, for fans maybe not familiar with the South NBL, that's the men's team in Auckland, and then the Franklin Bulls, Pukekohe, which is pretty much the most southern part of Auckland you can get, is still calling it Auckland. Like, there's nothing in between. And so, you know, trying and thinking in a positive way, it's going to be good for that community too, and I hope they get a good turnout. And if anything else, they're going to see for Kiwi players as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's awesome. And if that can also show that community, you know, you can do this too, and gets girls interested, that's a step in the right direction too.
Absolutely. Because we're talking community, something I do want to touch on, because I've been looking at to experience it myself, and I want to try and bring listeners into the Edgar Center and when you guys play at home in Dunedin, because it is a really good atmosphere. Sometimes it might be smaller than what people are used to, but it is really great. So can I love to spotlight the community a little bit and what you're currently playing in. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to start off, you just have dedicated people in the program and the club that really give a lot. And it definitely sometimes goes, you know, under the table, you don't notice it, and they give their time and effort. So I really appreciate that. And then beyond them, it kind of extends to those family and friends that loyally come to our games over and over. And yeah, it's sometimes a smaller crowd. Like this past weekend, it was a bit smaller. There was a Christmas parade going on in the city. So we didn't get a bit of the families and the young kids there, which is okay. But yeah, our first couple games, we had major turnouts and, you know, young girls coming back. And I have a couple girls that come up to me every single game and after every game, and they're always saying, "We came back and we love it." And so it's just incredible to see those little things. I mean, that's what really, you know, warms your heart. And yeah, the community is really awesome. It's funny because we'll kind of go into schools and we'll say, like, "Do you guys know the Nuggets?" And everybody's like, "Yeah." And they're like, "Do you know the Hoyle?" "Oh, no." It's like, but here, you know, we're here, and we've gotten some good traction with some of the high schools, with, you know, some of the Girls Got Game camps and just also some activations we've done to reach out to the community a bit more. And we definitely have some loyal people, but it's definitely making its way around. And we've had a couple like radio ads go out this year, and you could definitely hear it going around. And it's definitely bigger than last year, so yeah, I'll take a win on that. Hopefully we can continue to grow it here. I think Stephen Adams had a camp here, so that got a bunch of kids in for basketball, and you see more girls that are getting interested in basketball and not just netball.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially in Dunedin, it's, you know, I say I love going to visit every team. This is partially why, because for the reasons that people can't get down there, you know, because I feel like on TV, it's great because we see you playing and there is that visibility. But like you said, the stuff that goes on behind the scenes, you really have to be there to show up. And honestly, the investment that's put in, given where you guys are in the world, and I feel like every time I'm on social media, I see something from the Hoyho that you guys are out in the community, and it just warms my heart, really. And it's great to see the Girls' Game activations going on. it's a nice mix between locals and imports and returning players from last year. And so it's a nice harmony. You know, just playing the long game, really. And in the years to come, it's going to be, and I hope it's going to be even bigger than what it is now.
Yeah, I hope so too.
So for people who are listening who aren't aware, how many people does the stadium hold?
That would be a Google question. I'm unsure about that. I know the Nuggets have sold it out before.
The reason I'm asking is not so much about the actual physical number, but it's more about how often do you actually get to fill the stadium? Because, yeah, look, there's nothing like playing in front of, like, somewhere like Qdos where it's, you know, pretty full. But you can't take away the impact of even being in a smaller stadium that's really full. And particularly those smaller stadiums, it's like the floor, a couple of meters, and there's, you know, your fans are right there. They're so close.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, so according to Google, the Edge Center capacity is 2,880.
Okay.
So that would be both sides down, which we usually only put one side down. And we don't fill one side. But I definitely think it kind of is a bit quiet at the start. And then when we really get into the main game, and if our bench gets going, we really get the crowd into it. And then the crowd sometimes gets us into it. So it's a good combination, I think. But I think that's exactly, I feel like, going through my career, is when you get to play in those smaller stadiums, like a stadium we played in Germany, it was smaller than the one next to it that was bigger, but we played in this one because it just felt like the atmosphere was incredible.
Yeah.
And if we played in the bigger one, we probably would fill it too, but it was also, you know, it's just bigger and the atmosphere doesn't feel as good. In Sydney,
Qdos is the big one.
Qdos is the big one.
Yeah.
And then we also played in the
Key Center,
exactly. Yeah. And we actually really loved playing in the Key Center, again, because it was just our fans. And a lot of times in the Qdos, it was like a doubleheader.
Yeah.
So we felt like, you know, loyal and really into our games fans. And it was smaller and it felt like, you know, it packed and loud, and it was a blast. So I hope one day that we fill the Edgar and everybody, it feels like the crowd is on top of us.
I have no doubt, because there is a definite vibe. And like you said, when your bench gets going, like, the roof just lifts off. And that doesn't matter whether at home or on the road. It's just, I love the smiles and seeing how everybody is. Just, everyone seems like they get along great. And the culture of the team, like you said, the organization, you know, from an outside perspective, seems really well done. And the people in it help it make that way. But that team culture. Yeah, just can you give us a little bit of an insight into what that is? Because if people watch you on TV, you'll probably see a lot of smiles.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think our team culture kind of lingered from last year into this year. Like, it was, last year was probably a really special season, because with the imports that came in, so me, Ashton, and Elise, we just didn't really have any expectation. And I don't think any of us really, like, did our homework on what we were walking into, but it was a team that didn't win many games, and nobody really thought much of the team winning and, you know, having any sort of impact. And then we just came in and said, like, you know, let's do this. And I guess didn't have any expectation, came out and had, you know, a really cool connection and vibe. And we all just were, you know, go-getters and doers, and we just wanted to do our best there and have fun. And we really did that, and in that short amount of time. And I think that just flowed into this season. Of course, we're sad not to have Ashton again, but even adding three more imports, it was still such a good vibe. And I think that speaks to Todd being able to really recruit those players, types of people, and Ange, and just everyone helping out to really find such a good core group. And I mean, that's a big reason why Elise and I wanted to come back, was we just enjoy the environment and the people here. And they make you feel welcome, so they take care of you. And then beyond that, we do things together as a team, and we'll have beach days, and we will, you know, whatever it is, like, go watch sunrises or sunsets, and we have potluck dinners together. And yeah, we really just enjoy each other's time. And it'll be any sort of random activity, and it just thrown into the chat, and whoever wants to go heads off, and it's a good time.
I love that all the side quests that are happening with the Hoiho. I think it's just amazing. Is there a ringleader for all of that? Or is it just somebody who wants to chip in and go?
Yeah.
And then also, how do I get invited selfishly because it looks so much fun?
Yeah. Let us know when you're here, right? You know, it's an open invite. It's usually, I mean, it's probably a few people that throw out ideas more than others, but realistically, it's just someone chucks it up in the chat and whoever shows up. And, you know, like last night, everybody went to the movies. It was past my bedtime, so I did not go. But yeah, it's just random, really. And I think that's the best part, is that there's no worries in the world if you go or don't go, and you get to enjoy your time when you're together, and you also can do your own thing if you want.
Look, you mentioned beach days, and just as an aside, I noticed through the window behind you, it looks windy and cloudy, and like it's not a great day there today.
Actually, it was really sunny and beautiful for most of the day. And then some clouds rolled in, but it's definitely been windy all day. Yeah, brutal wind. But I think I got a bit of sunburn on my shoulders today. I was sitting out having a coffee with Zoe and Sammy, and I think I got a bit of color because the sun was very strong, but the wind is pretty brutal today. I heard that some of the planes turned around and didn't land in Dunedin from Auckland. So
yeah. Wow.
And my parents get in tomorrow, so I hope it's not too windy.
Oh, cool.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is this their first trip down?
It is their first time in Dunedin, in New Zealand. Sorry.
Cool.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, like your guy.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And so off the port, you guys are gelling really well. And then on the port, you know, you guys are taking care of business. Let's make no mistake about it. And you made reference to earlier that you never know what's going to happen. There have been some upset games that are actual upsets, and there are other times where maybe you come a little bit closer. But at the end of the day, I tell people, you know, you should never count the Hoiho out. Just never. And you are a big part of that team. There's no mistake. I think anybody who follows the league, even Lucy, will have an idea of who you are because of you've been on the leaderboard for assists. You've been in the MVP rankings. So you've been constantly dishing out, I think. Man, yeah, like the couple of games that I've seen you, you've just tear it up on the floor. And so, you know, you bring your attention to your teammates. So I want to celebrate you for a second because you are so humble. And so reflecting on your game, how have you gotten better over time?
Wow. I think early on, you just rely on some athleticism or, you know, youth to get you through a lot of things. But over my years in playing in different countries, I've been lucky to have a lot of coaches that have taught me some different aspects of the game and different ways to read it and really diversify my own game, I think. Just as you get older, you really need to use that IQ rather than the use of athletic ability because your body starts to realize, like, you're not as fast as the young ones. So having a bit of that knowledge can very much help. But yeah, there's different styles all around the world, and you just get to learn some new things from different players and even different moves and, you know, small steps. I mean, Guy Malloy, he's such a, you know, a player's coach that is really good at development. And so he was really cool to play under and considering, you know, little small aspects to a game that, you know, even just a different type of hesitation or step that, you know, just adding this in there kind of gets the defense to, you know, off balance and really gives you an advantage that you didn't even think you needed. And then it's very useful. So that was really cool in Sydney to also understand how he wanted the game and what the angles and all of the details is something I'm very interested and passionate about learning. So it's been cool to take that with me elsewhere. And I had a lovely coach in Germany that I also learned a lot from. So yeah, it was over the years just taking those different lessons and applying them in all different areas of my own game. And then hopefully spreading a bit of it. Like I think there's a few people on my team that I've just enjoyed. Yeah, whether even it's doing like little shooting workouts with and yeah, having the ability to share a bit of what I've learned is really enjoyable for me. Now, don't pass me as a coach, but I don't really plan on doing that any day. Maybe my for my kids or something, but yeah, that's a whole nother patience level I don't think I have. But I enjoy the small bits of it all, and I really key in on details. So I've just brought a lot of that into my game, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And so I first actually, I think, talked to you when you were in Sydney, and you had mentioned that Guy had seen you because of Toihi.
Yes, yeah. So
just interested, because now so you played in NBL 1, WNBL. So you mentioned that you've had key coaches and you've learned some key things that you've put into your game. Are there any other takeaways? Because, you know, we do have a huge appreciation on this podcast for WNBL and NBL1. What are some of those takeaways from those leads that you got? Because the WNBL, you know, is also another high level of competition, and really so is NBL1.
Yeah, it absolutely. And I think, well, I'll start with WNBL. It was so cool to be in such a professional level of all aspects, whether it was management to coaches to, you know, practices and lifting and shooting and recovery, and everything about it was just at a higher level. And then of course the basketball, which was really just so enjoyable to be a part of. It brings it to another level where you have to bring yourself to another level each day. So you can't walk into practice and unprepared or not mentally ready, and you know, it's your expectations are higher, which it was such a cool thing for me because I'm big on details. Sometimes those things like maybe would annoy me in a different sort of atmosphere, that now when I'm in this atmosphere, like, you know, no one's allowed to miss a layup. And that's kind of what I was taught when I was very young, you know, pre-college days at those like sort of academies I was talking about. One of the coaches there, he was very, very, you know, rigorous on us about these little details and always touching the line. And so getting that back in Sydney was such a cool aspect for me that I, you know, and also very taxing. You know, you don't realize how sharp you need to be every single day. And then you just want to go home and veg out because you can't, you just don't want to think anymore. Yeah. Or go sit your butt on the beach. That's what I did plenty of times. But yeah, it was the attention to detail that I really enjoyed in Sydney, and takeaways of angles on screens and specific passes and looks, and you know, it's only open for that second and you have to nail that down. And I think Guy was really good about making us be aware of all of those things. Or on defense, one wrong step is not okay. So yeah, it was, I really enjoyed that part of it. Going right into NBL1 before Sydney, Hobart was a lot of youth, and it was a lot of like, you know, I was kind of the one being a bit more strict and being the older one that says like, hey, we need to pick it up and that type of thing. So, and then Sydney, I didn't need to do that because everybody had to anyway. So then, and then going into NBL1 in Knox, yeah, it was a bit of a higher level. And there was another aspect to it for NBL1, because I think, you know, we have a bit more of a strenuous, not strenuous, but like it's a bit better for NBL1 as far as the program and, you know, the facilities we have access to. And I mean, nothing but really great there. So that was such a nice opportunity. And yeah, in team and environment, and to have Kira and Alicia Frawling with me, like both of them being WNBL players, and, you know, adding that element in that environment that we could create there together. And people just follow along with you, and it's really great. We had great practices. Yeah, and then taking that into Toihi, I think New Zealand is in general just a relaxed country. So, you know, our start time, our roll-in time is, you know, pretty relaxed, and we get going when we get going. But I think it's known with our team that once we step in the court and it's practice time, like, we need to keep, you know, get our head on straight, and yeah, we need to go at it. So it's a similar idea that like I'm a bit more of the person that's like, hey, here we go, like this is where we're going to get better, and you know, bring that aspect to the game. But I think overall those takeaways are the attention to details, and yeah, the obvious mentality that if you bring that into practice, it translates in a game. And I think that's what I've continued to try to bring to my teams.
I wanted to just jump in for a second, because as you were just talking about the different teams you've played for here, like in Australia and New Zealand, so there's been Hoiho, Hobart, Sydney, Knox, but you've also played for, you know, overseas. You played in Germany for, was it 6 seasons?
Yes, yeah.
Right. And you also played in Luxembourg and...
Just those two, right.
Yeah. So having experienced all those different teams, I'm curious to understand how different are, I mean, for want of a better word, the personalities of those teams.
Yeah, you just have to, you deal with a lot of different people and personalities and groups and elements and, I mean, dare I say drama sometimes, but...
no, surely not in basketball.
But, yeah, I think it's such a fascinating thing for me. Like, I really enjoy people and I love... I think my whole life I've been quite a bit of a people pleaser, less of it as I get older. But, I like to make sure that everyone's having fun and enjoying themselves. And I also want to make sure on the court that, people are playing to their strengths and we're getting everything out of what we can in this person. And, I feel a lot of weight on that a lot of the time, even this year with Poiho. Like, we had so much talent, but I feel like we weren't reaching our potential. And so I'm like, constantly thinking about how we can get that out of people. And I think it's such a cool element on going through this process and this journey is getting to meet all those different people and personalities. But I thoroughly enjoy it. I wouldn't be doing it if I couldn't handle it, I think.
Are you sure you don't want to be a coach? Because you're saying all the good coach stuff.
I know. There's been many people before that have said you should try it. I don't know if I can do it.
So the WNBL, so you played with a lot and against a lot of great players. We saw a big influx of WNBL players into Tauihi this year, which is great. Ignore the tone of the voice. It is great. I don't know why I said it like that. But were you surprised by the number of WNBL players because of the schedule shift that decided to come over to Tauihi?
Yeah, I think there is a bit of surprise just because I think there were a lot of Aussie players that, were looking to go overseas. And WNBL is a bit in a shifting stage of, their new management and they're kind of trying to all figure it out and really in a phase where they're really trying to make it great or continue the growth of it. And I think people were a bit unsure about it, everything that was going to happen with the WNBL, and the free agency was pushed back so many times, and it's just getting kind of late in the ideas of things. And I think people just decided, well, let's check this out. And the bigger salaries helped, and probably short amount of time also helped some people that could get back for Christmas and be ready for the start of NBL 1. And I think there's plenty of instances or ideas of why people wanted to, but I don't blame them. It's a great league, and who wouldn't want to have like an awesome 4 months in New Zealand? I love this country. So yeah.
It's starting to sound like maybe you'll be back again.
Well, hasn't been any talks yet. I mean, I don't think I don't think teams are allowed to. I'm not even sure, but yeah, no, I wouldn't say I'm opposed to it, but we'll definitely see what happens. I live my life a season at a time, I swear.
Which seems appropriate given your movements. And so what you mentioned, you're 4 months in New Zealand, especially now, as we shifted again, we're in the summer, late spring, summer. So weather's looking pretty good. I mean, again, I'm a bit biased, but I don't know why you would not want to live anywhere else. Basketball, but it gives you that opportunity. And you get paid well. And then after those 12 weeks or so weeks are up, you're able to go to another team if they take contracts. So there's another window of opportunity for that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you're looking to do?
Yeah. Definitely will look. I think I'm used to this year-round thing. I'm just not going to give it up or something. But I completely enjoy this part of the world. And who knows, maybe I'll just like bounce Aussie, New Zealand, I don't know. But yeah, definitely we'll look to do off-season stuff as well.
I mean, for sure. I mean, we want to be selfish and keep you down here year-round. But of course, mm-hmm. Then there is the benefit that you'll bring the teams around, other teams around the world. So understandably so, if you would like to do that. But you said something along the lines of, you're used to the year-round thing. And for a lot of basketball players, especially in this part of the world, if you want to make money, year-round is what you're going to have to do. And so, but that requires mental preparation to take care of yourself physically and mentally. How do you do that?
I think it's important to talk to teams about physios and the physical aspect of it, making sure that they can provide some sort of care for you and any sort of, you know, injury or niggle thing that comes up. Like, you need to address those things. But otherwise, as I've gotten older, I realize I can't just jump into a gym and start running right away. It's definitely a warm-up period and, you know, rehab and prehab and all these exercises and little things that really do help. And then the cool downs and all the extras, whether it's an ice bath or, you know, saunas or anything of the sort to help the body, you know, recover and prepare yourself for each practice and day. Sleep, lots of sleep, need that. That's a big one. But yeah, I think you just realize you have to start taking care of yourself if you want to stay on the court.
I just want to throw this one out because one of the big changes to with the way the Tawhee has rescheduled itself is you finish and then there's a reasonable break between Tawhee and NBL 1 starting. Do you think that that's actually going to, particularly for those players who are in Tawhee and who are going to NBL 1, having that break rather than going literally from season to season is actually going to be better for those players because you actually do get some downtime, time to rest and recover over any niggly injuries that might have developed over the season?
Yeah.
And particularly for someone like yourself who does bounce between New Zealand and Australia. What do you think about that?
I think it's good for a downtime. Speaking from a, you know, person who went 5 years in a European season and just took the entire summer off, I didn't want to go play another season somewhere. So I did take that time, obviously, and then continue to work out because you can't just expect to jump straight back into it. But I think having that time off is important, and especially for me now, you know, thinking about my agent even considered, like, you know, offered me some ideas that were in Europe, but I just could not think about going into another 8 month season coming off of WNBL, NBL one, and then going straight into European season. I think it's important that break. And so the time between NBL one and Tawhee, and now this time potentially between Tawhee and then going back to NBL one, it is important. There's times where you need to let your body heal. And then in saying that, it's also very important to build up your load again so that you're not jumping on a court going full steam without, you know, your body prepared for that. So yeah, I think your body needs that downtime.
Yeah, 100%. And especially because the Europe season is so dense. And then I just can't imagine somebody who doesn't play but just loves to watch it. It's great as a fan if we get to follow you year round. But I can't imagine for only you guys, it's probably, you know, harder to keep up, making sure that you say taking care of your body because you want to be, you know, playing for as long as you can. So you've talked about that. And, you know, you said you live your life one season at a time, which I think is actually equally in a really good way because you're just taking in those experiences and you've had so many. But do you have an idea of what you want the next couple of years to look like?
Really? Yeah, I think in general, I'm interested in this part of the world. New Zealand and Australia is very much starting to feel a bit more like a home, I guess. And I wouldn't say I'm established anywhere, but I do really enjoy, I've hung around for a few years now. And yeah, I always find myself coming back here and, you know, feeling great about it. And yeah, we'll see where that takes me. But I am interested in seeing what else I can, you know, formulate over here into a bit more of a permanent thing.
We'll take it. Anything we can get. Yeah. If it's just for part of the year, it's great to have you around. And, you know, because you've seen through the league for the last few seasons, which, like we said earlier, pivotal. And, you know, there are different successes that you can take out of that. So I did want to ask, for this current season, even though it probably did not go the way you guys had hoped, we're sadly not going to see you in the Final Four, but we'd just love to know quickly some of those, how would you define a success this season?
Yeah, I think that we had small wins. You know, I think we started off kind of not knowing where our superpower was. You know, we just we couldn't really put it all together. You know, we had all these elements and all these great talents, but yeah, less of being able to put it so quickly together and putting it in 40 minutes. But I think we did have really great moments of it and really cool times where our defense was so cool and incredible. And then offensively, we were grooving and finding our own way and doing it, you know, as a team. So yeah, I think those elements made the small successes of the season, you know, worth celebrating. Yeah, it's unfortunate that we couldn't get a few more wins out of some of those to keep us in the Final Four, but sometimes it's just the way basketball is and sport is, and I'm still happy to be here in this season and play with this team, and so celebrate that for sure.
There's a whole lot of level to you going around for you guys, and I just hope that it continues to grow over the years. And I just want you guys to know that they're, you know, you guys are very loved, and we see you no matter what happens. You're doing a great job in the game in New Zealand, so it's a real pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being on here.
Paige, it really has been great having you on the show. We were watching you when you were playing for the Flames, and it was like, yeah, we need to get Paige on the show because everybody on the floor is 110% competitive. But you can tell there are some players who are really competitive, but you can also tell there's this element of, I'm having fun out here.
Oh, you have to.
Yeah.
Otherwise, why do you do it?
Look, it really has been great having you on the show, Paige. And we really do hope that you'll stay down here in the Southern Hemisphere, and we'll get to see you in the NBL one, and we'll get to see you in Tauihi or maybe WNBL again. Thanks so much for joining us on the show. Lyndon, as always, thanks again for joining us on the show. And it's been great to have you both here. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you get our latest pod. And we really appreciate if we could get a like and a review so we can extend the reach to more listeners. And don't forget, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.